How long ago did you start free bleeding?
That was 2017. From there, I went into the whole thing, what is actually like a menstruation cycle? What is it? Because we are so focused on the period that we are missing the whole cycle. And, you know, like men are so connected to the sun, women are connected more to the moon. So men usually have a 24-hour cycle, and we have a 28 to 32-day cycle.
Hi, and welcome to Taboo with Mimi, the podcast that talks about anything and everything, really, that is taboo in this world. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. No. But seriously, I go around the world because I'm a digital nomad, and I interview people from different cultures and ask them about their taboos. Why? Because it's time to talk about them. Some things will hopefully make you think. Others will maybe gross you out. But most things will be something you can relate to. So there you have it.
Welcome to Taboo with Mimi. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Taboo with Mimi. I am super excited to have a very interesting person with me today. Her name is Sina, and I can't wait to tell you the story because we're going to talk about something that is so taboo. And I don't even know why. I think we're going to go into it because I think it's so crazy that periods are taboo. But Sina, welcome to Taboo with Mimi. Yeah, who are you?
Hey, good morning. Thank you for inviting me. I'm so excited to be here. First of all, I want to name it's my first ever talking in English in a podcast, so I'm super excited.
Yes.
So if I'm sometimes like searching my words a little bit, but I will find them usually. And
not a problem.
I'm so excited that you asked me because I'm working as a menstruation cycle awareness coach. And yeah, that's what I do. I love to help women, getting connected to their flow and to their periods. And I'm also teaching about free bleeding. And yeah, I think we will dive deeper into it, but I'm just super excited to be here.
Yeah. And I remember the last time I was like, you're the period fairy.
Period goddess.
I'm a goddess.
Yeah.
That's true. It's even better. The period goddess. Because I think you're such an interesting, from what I know about you, which is very little, but it's just, you're a very interesting person. So where are you from?
So I'm from Germany. I left in 2017. And my whole journey about like free bleeding and the menstruation cycle actually started because of that. In actually 2016, when I was preparing for my journey, and I was just like, I have no idea in which countries I will end up and are there period products there or not. And that's how the whole journey started. And then I just, dive deeper and deeper over all these years. And now I'm just so excited to share my knowledge and help like women to get back to the cycle and to the whole flow, because there's so many people out there with menstruations that suffer from PMS or from pain. And I just know it's so normalized in our society. That's okay. And it's just not. And it's just so amazing and rewarding to work with people. And then after a while, they're pain free. I never say, hey, I heal you or whatever. This is not a healing. Like, I'm not like giving this, hey, we will heal you or whatever.
But you're not a healer.
Yeah. But hey, look, I can go along with you and maybe we can find a way that you suffer less and that you actually enjoy your flow, because the period, I say, is just like a receiving card, like how you treated yourself the whole month. And it's such a big vital sign of us. And yeah, usually people don't talk about it as much, and it gives us so many informations about our body and how we live.
Absolutely. And I think this is exactly what like resonates with me and with so many women, because I've been suffering from my period my entire life.
Yeah.
And I just love talking about periods.
Me too.
Because no one talks about it and I'm the taboo person. But also I think it's really interesting because exactly what you said, it says so much about how you feel. For example, and then I'd love to hear about your story with your periods, but for my perspective, it's always been painful.
Yeah. Just one thing I want to say before is that I really try to not use the word woman so much. It's just like, because, people with menstruations or woman, because there are so many people out there, they don't identify as women and they still have periods. And I want that my knowledge is inclusive as I can do it, also for trans men. And I feel like in the scene of teaching about the menstruation, everything is so worded like women, and it just doesn't make it really easy to access this knowledge when you see it on websites and stuff like that to people which are, yeah, not identifying as women. Mm-hmm. So I always try to use different terms which are not like only women. Like I do wimben in a way for the womb.
I feel like every language has like a different way to use inclusive language.
Yeah.
In Italian, for example, we use the schwa or the asterisk sometimes.
Yeah.
I know in English, the mainly inclusive word is just saying menstruating people, for example.
Yeah.
Or menstruating person.
Yeah. Yeah. Menstruation people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's really happy about this.
Yeah, that's one thing, yeah. I want to name, because I feel like it's so nice to bring some awareness there. And also, mm-hmm. I feel as a woman teaching about that, because I identify as a woman, right. But I want to have it inclusive. And I just want that people feel welcome and that they have access to my knowledge and feel like that I see them as well as they are. And
Yeah, lovely. I will actually, like, this is something I try to be aware as well, but I think it's a learning curve, because yeah. I'm just like, in my head just doesn't always, like, I have to think about it.
Yeah.
And I think that's because, and I think it's okay, because it's important to be aware and try. I always say, like, it really takes zero effort to change one word and be inclusive of people that do not feel included in this world, which I think it's really important.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yes, so love that.
Yeah, it's a way of learning new and using new terms and language in a different way, especially if you're not a native speaker. Like in German, it's so much easier to me because, yeah, I'm from Germany, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then in English, I try as well because I just feel like it's important. And I mean, we are all able to learn, right? That's why we are here.
Yeah, absolutely. So my story is like coming from a very painful one.
Mm-hmm.
I remember since I started menstruating for the first time, which I still remember, I was 12.
Yeah.
It's always been really painful to the point that I couldn't get up, and my mom would just tell me that it's normal because she also experienced the same.
Yeah.
So I associated period with pain for a very long time until I got on the pill, and that got so much better, but it had so many other problems that eventually after 5 years I had to get off the pill, and I would never get on the pill back again ever, because it was just like so many side effects. And since then it's been a little bit better. But as you said, I think this is super interesting because it does tell how you like treat your body the whole month. Because sometimes I treat it better and my cramps are less, and my entire body during those days are like less affected. And those days that I don't, I can really tell, like, I have also a little bit of endometriosis, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a little bit of fiber in my uterus. So that doesn't help. That's why I think I have more painful periods. But in general, it's really... It's so interesting. What is your story about it?
So my story, started with free bleeding. So when I discovered, okay, there was this journey of using just normal tampons, right? We all know them, and or pads. And then I was like, okay, I will go on this journey. So maybe I want to have something else. So I tried the cup and stuff like that. But I never felt 100% comfortable with it. And then I just came across this idea that, okay, like maybe I don't even want to put something inside of me anymore. So then pads would be great, but then how can I wash them? So yeah, I was just going into like free bleeding a lot, and free bleeding is really old, and it's actually because a lot of people in this world, like, we are really privileged to have access to menstruation products, but not so many people have that, right?
Right.
This is a huge privilege. Like in some countries there's none like that, or it's too expensive, and little girls starting bleeding, for example, with 12 years, they can't go to school anymore. So like free bleeding is coming from that background, actually, that people are not even having access. So what are they doing? And then it started this whole wave of like women trying to free bleed, to showing, hey, look, this is an issue in this world, like as a protest. So I went down this rabbit hole of free bleeding, and I tried to learn it, because in the end it's potty training for kids, like learning, oh, to pee and go to toilet. It's exactly the same. Like we can reconnect to our womb and feel, okay, when is the blood coming? Because the blood is coming in flows. It's not just dripping out. Like a lot of people have this idea of, oh, if I don't put anything in there, then like it will just drip out and I will mess up the bed sheets or like my clothes and stains will be everywhere. It's not like that. We can really learn to feel our flow and just go to the toilet. And it actually took me two periods to learn it. And now I'm doing this and I'm not using any menstruation products usually. Just when I go out and I don't know where's the toilet or how is the condition of the toilet, then I use like menstruation panties. And so my whole journey started from there, because I discovered, since I'm not putting anything in there anymore, in my vulva anymore, like my cramps are so less. There are no cramps anymore, basically. And then I went down educating myself about the menstruation cycle. And yeah, that's how it started, actually.
I am blown away. I love this so much, because I feel like, I think the first time that I heard about it was in Germany, but like many years ago, and it sounded like some voodoo stuff. Not possible. Come on.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what is this free bleeding? And first of all, I want to learn. I'm already telling you. Because I think it could really be a game changer, especially with people like myself, who is very mindful about the ecological footprint that we have on this world.
Yeah.
And first of all, let's be real, like tampons and like pads here are not that expensive because we're in Indonesia, but yeah. Pads and just menstruation products for menstruating people are really expensive.
Yeah.
Like I remember one time I bought some organic tampons and they were like €7.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I need one of these, at least maybe two each month. Yeah. And it can add up a lot.
Yeah.
And so I remember like I joined some protests to say like that tampons and pads and menstruating products should be free, because it's like it's not my choice to bleed every month.
Yeah.
And then I tried, I remember when they came out, thinks this was like in 2015 or 2016, I was in the US and I found out this, that there was this Canadian company called Thinks that was making menstruating panties.
Yeah.
And no one had heard about it. And I'm like, oh wait, this is a great way to not use disposable products anymore.
Yeah.
And I used them for a very long time. And then unfortunately I got an STD. So I couldn't use them anymore because they could never really get cleaned properly 100%. And so the little bacteria would trigger my STD.
Yeah.
And I found myself having to go back to disposable pads, and then tampons, for whatever reason, are not really working as much anymore. I just don't feel like putting something inside this much anymore.
Yeah. Like, it's funny, right? That we don't feel that. Like, no. After a while, like, I have this so much with people that as soon as we start working on it and connecting back to the womb and all this, it's like, I don't want to put something in my vulva again. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, it's because it stops the flow. And we are used to flow. There's so many good things about not using anything inside of you. A big reason to not putting anything inside is actually that it can reduce the cramps, because your pelvis actually tries to make contraction to get the blood out, right? And then you block it with a menstruation product, and that can even actually cause more pain. So, like, when people tell me, hey, look, I have menstruation pain or all these cramps, we can do a lot of stuff on different level. There are herbs, there's not using this. We can work with a lot of things. There's so much you can do to reduce all this pain. But this is actually the biggest thing you can do pretty fast, right? Just like going into an alternative, which is not inside of you. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And even sometimes like the moon cup, which I think it's a great eco alternative to that, also that didn't work for me. So, and it doesn't work for a lot of people that I've heard, they've tried it. So I'm so interested in this free bleeding. So basically, just like to understand, free bleeding means, and maybe like we can go a little bit into it on how, like, because I'm also super interested in the menstrual cycle, because I think we know so little about it, even as is menstruating people, and just as people in general. How basically you're not using any products, you're just like holding it as if it was pee almost, and then when you go to the toilet you just let it out.
That's basically right? So you're not really holding on to it, like I can if there's no toilet next to, but I just feel like, you know, this urge when you need to pee, you have this feeling. And so it's not the same feeling, it's a little bit a different feeling, and you have to reconnect to this feeling. And I would always recommend to do that in a quiet space when you have time, you know, like if you try it the first time, just be at home, maybe have a towel while you do stuff like around the hips. So then you're not afraid that you mess your pants up or something like that. And just being aware, hey, I want to learn this and maybe I will mess up this towel, and it's fair enough because I'm reconnecting. I haven't done that for so long, because a lot of people don't know how to do it, or that we are even able to do that. Being gentle with yourself, being present with yourself, being aware, and then just checking in, oh, is there a feeling? arising inside of me. Is there like an urge to go to the toilet? And then just go to the toilet. And then sometimes you will have this little celebration. Oh, yeah, I actually like, oh, wow, it's just coming. And so you go to the toilet and you really try to relax your pelvis. Because a lot of us hold a lot of tension in the pelvis, not only during the menstruation, but just in general. Women hold a lot of tension in their pelvis. So just going to the toilet and then just relaxing your pelvis completely and see if something comes up. And sometimes something will come out. And sometimes it's maybe you just run because you have the feeling, oh, something is coming, but nothing is coming. And it's a little bit of a game. And yeah, for me, like it took me 2 cycles to really understand the feeling of it. And it's actually like the easiest to do it on the strongest days because it's more blood coming in one go. So you feel it easier. So the first 2 to 3 days of the cycle are really good to learn. Yeah.
Amazing. So how long ago did you start free bleeding?
That was 2017. From there, I went into the whole thing. What is actually like a menstruation cycle? What is it? Because we are so focused on the period that we are missing the whole cycle. And, you know, like men are so connected to the sun. Women are connected more to the moon. So men usually have a 24-hour cycle and we have a 28 to 32-day cycle. Like
men, yeah. 24 hours?
Yeah.
And women, 28 days?
Yeah.
So different.
Yeah. So yeah, for men, they go to bed and then they build up testosterone and then they wake up with a high testosterone and then like it goes down over the day. And that's why it makes it so much easier as well to study on men. Like all the medicine is studied on men, like sleeping rhythms are studied on men. So all these studies, sometimes you see this real, 7 to 8 hours are enough. This is a study based on men and how they work and how much sleep they need, but it's not based on the women's body because we need more hours of sleep. We need 8 to 10 hours, basically. And yeah, our whole society is actually based on men, like our whole business world. Like people expect that we're showing up the same every day. But we are not the same every day. We are changing over our cycle. Within our cycle, we have 4 phases. And so I went down like into this 4 phases and now I'm teaching about these phases because, yeah, the period itself is just the kind of report card in the end of the month. Which is actually the beginning of the month, right? Because first day of the period starts the new cycle.
Yeah, and I want to ask you more about the cycles, but first I just wanted to open a parenthesis because last year, actually, in Bali, I read this book by this American researcher, which is called Invisible, which is exactly what you said, is like how women are actually invisible in this world.
Yeah.
Which, by reading it, it was so crazy. It comes from bathrooms. People don't think men and women need different size of bathrooms because women use more of the bathrooms than men. Yeah. And it starts from who is the architect of these bathrooms in most public places? Men. So they don't think that women need bigger bathrooms.
Yeah.
It starts from something like that to the phones that are like planned on the hand of a man.
Yeah.
Which is much bigger than the hand of a woman. It's something so stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's like how like our world are actually programmed for men.
But then if you go even deeper into it, like all the medicine is based on a male body.
Bodies.
Like
yeah.
So like for us getting like medicine, which is like really useful for our body, is actually not as easy because the dosage like is higher because usually men having more weight, right? More body mass, more like muscles as well. Like we have a body, like higher body fat. And then also like accidents, for example, like cars are designed for men, right? So actually 60%...
Seatbelts.
Yeah.
Right? Like the height of the seatbelt.
Yeah.
Oh, like this.
Everything.
Everything was in this book. Yeah. It was so interesting.
Yeah. And it's also why I'm so passionate about it because I just want that women are able to break free. For me, what I always say is like knowing about the cycle, like knowing about your menstruation cycle is actually biohacking for women.
Mm-hmm.
Like as soon as you will operate different in your family, in your relationship, in your business, like all these kind of things, you can apply it and then life is just so much easier.
Yes. So let's hear it. What are the 4 phases of the menstrual cycle?
How I teach it is with the 4 seasons. It's winter, spring, summer, and autumn.
I love it.
And it's funny because it's so easy to understand. The first week, which is the menstruation, is the winter. And then you think about, how is the winter? Like, we're talking about European seasons, right?
Of course. And then Bali, no seasons.
Yeah, Bali, no seasons. We're talking about the European seasons. So for everybody who wants to do this exercise right now, think about, what is it to be in the winter in Europe? What are the feelings, the sensations you have there? Like, it's cozy, you want to go inward, you want
to... cold.
Oh, like, yeah, you want to be maybe, like, alone or just with really close friends and eating some cookies. And it's just a... yeah, it's actually, like, the perfect permission to rest. That's what animals do. Like, the bear is sleeping, like, all the animals are just going into that, the phase of resting. Mm-hmm. So on the next week is spring. So what happens in spring, right? We are starting to bloom, we're starting to blossom. And that's also why it's so important to rest during the menstruation. I always say at least the first 2 days, really give yourself permission to rest. It will charge you up for the whole cycle. People are so conditioned that, oh, in our society, we are not allowed to rest. And it's true, like, we are always trying to hustle. Like, women, there's so much pressure on us to have our own business, be a caregiver, be like raising kids, showing up for the family and all these kind of things. But these 2 days in your cycle are only for you to recharge, to really crawl in, to nurture yourself. And you will see the effect is that you're thriving to your cycle so much better. You will just flow through it and you will get all your shit done in less time, just because you're so charged up. Back into the spring. So what is the spring like? Like, our body starts to produce more estrogen because we are leading up to, like, our ovulation. So we're blooming, we're blossoming. What is nature doing? Like, all the little new flowers are coming. And it's actually the best time to planning if you want to do an adventure, or for example, going away with the family. Just do all the planning there, because your brain is super sharp and you like to connect people in this time, because that's what actually ovulation, we are supposed to connect there, because on our ovulation we're supposed to make a baby, right? So, and after that week, so week number 3, and by saying this, is not every phase is 7 days long, they're a little bit different. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying weeks to make it easier for now,
right?
So the week number 3, and in between week number 2 and 3 is the ovulation, and then week 3 is the fire, is the summer. You feel sexy, you feel like the seductress, you have the wild side is coming out, and it's really good. So for example, if you have a workshop you want to host, or having a photo shoot, like, spring and summer are perfect. Usually the skin is better, you feel outgoing, you feel really good in your body. So yeah, these two phases are really good for that. And then we're coming to the last phase, which is like autumn, which is also the PMS week, right?
Tough one.
And this is what people usually say, it's the tough one. But you know what I say? As soon as you understand your cycle, you're going from bitch to witch.
Wow. Holding your power.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Because sending your truth, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, because so our estrogen goes down and we produce more progesterone if we had an ovulation. This is really important to have an ovulation every month. Mm-hmm. And then you're so connected to yourself, because ovulation gives you a little bit of this kind of, like, the estrogen gives you a little bit of this, how do you say it, this love bubble sunglasses. You can't really see clear. And then you're in your PMS phase, and a lot of people struggle there because you feel like, ah, I'm sentimental, I'm so emotional, like, everything is stressing me out. Maybe you freak out easier with your partner. And it's actually because what happens is, think about the autumn in Europe. There's still this beautiful, yeah, nature is still beautiful, like, everything is colorful, like, all the leaves and stuff, but it's crashing because it's starting to die. So you're coming from this really hot summer, you feel sexy and all this, then your hormones are crashing and you're completely overwhelmed by it. And then this transition time, for me, it's always day 21. And honestly, like, day 21 in my cycle, I shouldn't just sleep. I should stay at home and not leave the house. Day 21 always holds up shit for me. And this is actually when you transition to the autumn. And then autumn is actually perfect to reflect on yourself. How was my cycle? Did I show up the way I wanted to show up? Did someone cross my own boundaries? Is there something I want to address to people? And then not really acting on it. This week is not the week acting on it, is reflection time, is looking inward, is looking into yourself, into your soul, and what is not aligning with you from the last cycle. Maybe you want to let go of something. Maybe there's something you really have to address in your relationship or with a family or in your work. And I would always recommend write it down, keep it there, and if it's still bothering you in your next springtime, then address it.
Oh my God, I love this. Yeah. PMSing is actually time to reflect.
Yeah, to really connect to yourself. Yeah, because you're not in this, oh, everything is love and red bubbles and stuff like that. It's more, okay, the raw me is coming out. And the raw me can be uncomfortable if you don't want to connect it, or if you don't want to give yourself the time, or if you expect yourself to show up the same way you show up in summer. But what is really important to understand is our menstruation cycle and our hormones are changing our brain. It's really important to understand, because people think, oh, but it's just hormones or it's just a cycle. No, the hormones are impacting our brain, so we are really acting differently.
Yes. I love that, yeah, like you focused on as menstruating people.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, if you're someone that has a partner, for example, yeah, so how can the partner, in your opinion, behave or help the cycle of menstruating people?
Yeah. First of all, it's always great to track your own cycle in an app. No, I wouldn't do it if you don't want to get pregnant, because it's it's not really, because like you track it, but then you have to understand every cycle is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And every ovulation is a little bit different. So if you're based on this app trying not to get pregnant, that can be a little bit tricky. But if you have an app to track your cycle, the first thing I would say is your partner should be connected to this app. So there are some apps you can synchronize them to your partner's phone, and then they can check in.
Amazing.
Where is my partner in my cycle? Oh, she's on heat today. I can just go up to be a little bit spicy. Or you check it and you're like, oh, it's autumn time. Maybe I just get her some snacks. Like this, because what I said before, just think about the seasons. What does the squirrel does in the autumn, right? Collecting for the winter time. So it's really good to think, hey, what would nurture me through that time? Like telling my partner, hey, look, this week, I really don't want to have heavy conversations. I'm sitting with myself. I want to have more time for myself. Or maybe I just want to have cuddles. Maybe can you just hold me? And like really checking in with yourself, what nurtures you? And then asking people, like, first of all, try to fulfill those needs yourself, but then there are also other people around you, right? It's also great with friends, actually, to do that, to say, hey, look, I'm in my PMS time, we can go out tonight, but I would just prefer to be in a really cozy restaurant and not partying. Like, it's so nice. And in my friend circle, like, we all communicate now with these kind of things. Or setting up emojis in the communication, like setting up an emoji for every week and your partner can just check in, hey, where are you in your cycle? And then having this understanding what that means is really nice. Yeah.
I think it can be really also like just a game changer for couples, because you understand each other so much better. And that should be at the base of every relationship. Okay. Love it. So it's like the four seasons. Yeah. And then I think I really relate to that, because I think it's been happening here a lot. The first 2 days, I'm really dead. Like, no energy. I just cannot work. Call it like my period brain.
Yeah.
Because I just can't focus. I can't do anything. And I finally learned to just not do anything for the first 2 days, at least the first day. But like now it's been like 2 days, and the third day, which is today, I already feel like so much more energized. But I just, for the first 2 days, I can't do it. And like, I can't work. And I've been like, as well, like, it's like women need those 2 days off. Like, I can't do anything. Like, people don't get it, but I just can't. Not just because of the pain, which is really much there. And then I have to take painkillers to do like stuff. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
It's just, I just need to rest.
It's so like when I work with menstruating people, it's like, yeah, Sina, but you're not in a corporate job and stuff like that. And I understand that it's a huge privilege to just be like, oh, I'm on my menstruation, so I'm not doing anything for 2 days. But there's so much you can just implement in your life, even if you have kids, even if you're in a corporate job. Like, you can get some snacks before, like, you can make yourself, for example, a menstruation box, which is your box for your menstruation. And maybe there are some nice snacks in there. Maybe there are some teas in there. So you also remember, oh yeah, actually, I'm nurturing myself. Or maybe there's a little clock inside the sand, things you can turn around. And it just gives you permission for 3 minutes and just put your hands on your womb and just breathe and just make little islands of rest in your daily life, even if you're in a corporate job, even if you have kids. Like, it doesn't mean you have to be fully in bed and watch Netflix. Amazing if you want to do it, but this is not reality for a lot of people that this is accessible, right? So try to find different things and also, like, really focus on your whole flow. How can you live with your flow so the period is not even as painful? Because so what I learned with myself and also with other people, as more as you respect your own flow and your emotions and how you work with your flow, as less the pain will be, like, in general.
Yeah. And I'm actually, like, I'm a huge advocate actually for women in any jobs, regardless if it's corporate or not. I understand that this is not the reality because, again, this is how men work.
Yeah.
And men don't need 2 days off, but women do. And therefore, like, exactly the problem. Like, they have to go to work even when they shouldn't, probably. I'm a huge advocate for women take those days off. Unfortunately, that's not a reality for a lot of countries. If I think about the US, which I've lived in for a very long time, women don't even get maternity leave. Paid maternity leave. I think maternity leave is, like, something already, like, a privilege. And, of course, it's unpaid. In Europe, luckily, it's different.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it's absolutely insane. But, yes. So, you said that it took you 2 cycles to be able to learn the free bleeding, which is nothing. Like, that's really quick. And yeah, that's really accessible to a lot of people.
Yeah.
How was the transition?
Yeah. So actually, like, free bleeding is really if you don't use any products.
Right.
As soon as you use, for example, a menstruation panty, is not called free bleeding anymore, because it's also about the act of being able to see the blood, right? And it's, which is really great if you do free bleeding and you see the blood dripping into the toilet or you collect it in a little thing, because the period is a really important vital sign, actually. So you can learn a lot from the color of your menstruation, about the fluidity, how the liquid looks, how the blood looks, how it smells as well. It's so good to have a little bit of knowledge about that. So for me, it was really, like what I said before, just being at home and experimenting with it a little bit. And I, by that time, I had a partner and I was like, okay, hey, the next 2 days, please don't have 20-minute sessions on the toilet, because maybe sometimes I have to run fast to not mess it up. But yeah, like, it's easiest with the towel and stuff like that. And, like, even if you decide just to do it at home and then when you go out, you wear a menstruation panty, there's no right or wrong. You do you, your cycle, your rules. It's, yeah, you do you, whatever you do. But it's such an, yeah, I would say it's a life-changing experience to know that, because it's really reclaiming your connection to your womb and to your body. Yeah.
And do you teach it during your coaching?
Yeah, I do. So what I have is one-on-one, and then we just look, what do you want to learn, actually? So mostly we go from the menstruation cycle itself to first understand, for example, the season really in depth. Right now, I just covered it really briefly.
3 seconds.
Yeah, really briefly, but we can really go into, yeah, into it, like, and also where do you want to apply it? Is it in business? Is it in family? Like, it's different. Like, everybody is different. Every cycle is different. But, like, it's about reconnecting you to your womb without any shame there. You know, we're holding so much shame as well around the whole topic, right? And also about blood. So many women, the worst scenario would be, like, bleeding in public, right? Like, it holds so much shame to have the blood stain between your legs, and we shouldn't even be there. Like, there shouldn't be shame. So I have one-on-ones, and we really go into that, like, in all the topics around the menstruation cycle and free bleeding. But I also have group coachings, because I really want to bring women together, which are also who want to talk about this. We are so, like, disconnected from the whole topic, and then you learn about it and you want to talk about it with people, right? Like you and I, we are already like passionate about it, and it's always nice to have feedback and talk to other people too. So I do group coachings because I feel it's so beneficial to for these people also to stay connected after they're done with my group coaching. So they can just, you know, yeah, getting in touch with each other or still being in touch, not losing the touch, and then talking about it. And yeah, everybody is different and we all hold so much wisdom. It's not only me. Everybody who is joining my program comes with their own wisdom and with their own connection to the body, and everybody brings something into the group. And it's just amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I loved it. And I'm going to reconnect to what you said because A, something interesting happened to me yesterday, which, so here I usually buy organic pads because, as I said, I don't feel like using tampons as much, but also you can't really find them here in Indonesia. Yeah. But I did buy one pack and I finished my pads. And yesterday I was like, okay, I'm going to go back to the tampons because I want to finish this pack that I bought. And I haven't had tampons in a very long time. And yesterday I was wearing a tampon for, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 hours, but it was like the second day. And then I went to the restaurant, I sat there and everything, and I didn't realize I actually started bleeding in my panties. Mm-hmm. And when I got to the co-working space and I was like, oh, I'm going to go change, I saw that I was like completely full of blood.
Yeah.
And the word shame really is there because I felt so much shame. As, oh my God, I for sure got all the pillow at the restaurant full of blood. And I didn't even realize. And that was like, I was like, oh my God, I would never go back to that place or like stuff like that. And I'm like, and then I saw for a second, I'm like, what the fuck? There's so much shame around. Even like when I like bleed my sheets, I feel like so embarrassed about it. And I'm like, this is normal. This is, you know, it's a person that like, I'm a menstruating person and I bleed.
Yeah.
And but it's exactly true. And I also think this could resonate with a lot of people that are like me, because I have so much pain during the first 2 days. I think a lot of us hold a lot of pain and frustration around menstruating because it really is physically painful. And if it wasn't, it would be completely different. So we live this as with like shame, with pain, with like frustration, with everything that comes with it. And I really, and I was talking about it yesterday, and I see a lot of people, especially on Instagram, talking about it as the most beautiful thing. And I can't, like, I don't see that because for me, it's still like holding so much pain and, and resentment and everything. And I really want to change that because I think it can be so powerful.
Thanks for sharing and like being so open about it. It's like also like a vulnerable topic for a lot of menstruating people. It's like a burden in the whole month, and already PMSing is like leading up to it, and then like, oh no, I will be on my period, and then I can't work, and then I can't show up in my family. So there is a lot, like it's the aspect of the society, then it's the pain in your body, it's also like this trauma, this ancestor trauma that we carry all this pain and all this shame and everything till today. And then also we don't really see blood. If you ever think of advertising for menstruation products, it's always this blue color. Fake blood is already a big step because it was always this blue clean color, and then it's red and you're like, oh, like this is weird. And I'm not free of shame around this topic, right? Like just because I teach about it doesn't mean that I have it all, like, you know, that all the shame is gone. But I had a really beautiful actually experience with one of my ex-partners, and we were intimate with each other and we had sex, and then I started bleeding, and you know, like the sheets were red and blah, and like for him the most normal thing was just like cleaning it up with me. Like he was even like, hey, you just lay there, you just got your period, I will clean it. And he took the sheet and he washed it out with cold water, right? And it was the most beautiful thing he could do for me in that moment, and just like something so normal. And of course nobody likes to have, for example, diarrhea in front of the partner or throwing up in front of the partner, but blood, it's just another red fluid in the end when we break it down. And then also I can see what people mean by that the menstruation is a beautiful thing, and I totally agree, but I also understand the other side because it was different for me as well. But now for me, first of all, it's it is a receiving card for me. How do you say it? Yeah, like a receive card, how I treated myself. It's an important vital sign. And then also, even if you don't want to use it, but what our body does every month is actually preparing for a new living being, which is beautiful. So this blood which comes out of you is so full of nutrition. And people out there, there are so many rituals as well. For example, giving the blood to your garden or making face masks. And I'm not saying do it all. If you were never into your menstruation cycle and you just start now, it's a little bit overwhelming that people already put their blood in the face and stuff. I'm not saying you have to do that. But it is interesting to see that also different cultures handle this topic so different. And I think we should celebrate us because our body does something so beautiful to create this little home in our womb to actually, you know, be able to, yeah, make a baby. And it's life. It's a new living being. And yeah, this is also why we deserve to rest, because our body creates something beautiful. And men will never understand how much energy that takes from you. But every month, something in us needs a lot of energy to do all this. Just think about it. How much energy does it take to renovate a home or to build a house? This is actually what's happening in our womb every month. We're building up a little cozy space for a little egg to be inside here to grow. Like, this takes energy. That takes effort. That takes nurturing. And just by honoring it and just by... I don't say you have to love your cycle. I don't want to put this expectation on anyone. But getting in touch with it holds a lot of beautiful things, I would say. Yeah.
I love the house analogy because that's how my mom explained it to me the first time. She said, okay, imagine there is a little someone that comes and it's like preparing the whole house to make a baby.
Yeah.
So she puts up the furniture and everything. It's like getting ready to hold the offspring, the sperm, and to wait for the baby to come. That's how she would explain it to me. And then she's, if at the end of the month nothing comes, then he just destroys the house, basically. Yeah. And then goes out. Everything that was built goes out, and then you expel it. And I think that's a really beautiful analogy to explain it to kids that otherwise would not be able to understand what's going on in our bodies.
Yeah.
Because I was 12, I remember. But yeah, so that's a really, when you said like building a house, almost like something really resonated with me. Can we talk about pure sex for a second?
Yeah, we can for sure.
Because I've been wanting to talk about it for a very long time, because I mean, the first 2 days are horrible, but like the third and fourth day, when you have a little more of energy, I remember I was always like super horny. Mm. But my ex, I was in a relationship for 6 years, would not, like, he would just was like grossed out by blood. And I'm like, fair enough. But for me, I feel, as you said, it was like a beautiful moment when you and your ex-partner were like, wash your blood together. And I think that's a very beautiful image as well, because for me, to have my men being able to like have sex with me and be intimate with me, even during, it's like during those very vulnerable days, and accept my body and my blood is really hot.
Yeah.
And yeah, what do you think?
First of all, both have to be comfortable with it.
Of
you
course.
Know, like that's always, if it's consensual, then and you like it, go for it. There are so many take-ons. First of all, it's amazing extra loop. If you want, you know, like if you want to see it from that point, it's crazy. It's crazy good, right? You have to extra loop and all these kind of things. But then also just imagine like your body tries to get something out of your body and makes like all these contractions. Even if it's not painful, it's a downward energy. Mm-hmm. Penetration, either if it's with a dick or if it's with a dildo or with fingers, like when it comes to same-sex couples, for example, it's an upwards energy. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of an energy clash there, if you think about it in energy terms. I don't even want to give a recommendation, because you do you. Your body, your rules, and your partner, your sex partner, or the person you're intimate with. Like, it's all up to you. It's just something to really, like, yeah, just think about it. Check in with yourself. Am I ready for that? And, for example, if there's a problem with the sheets, or if my partner maybe doesn't like it, you can always have sex with yourself, right? If you're super horny in that time. But also maybe the shower is a great place to do it. Like just to, so you do you. Yeah, that's my take on that one.
Yeah, no, I loved his answer. It's very comprehensive.
Yeah.
Last question. Why do you think periods are so taboo?
Because they're powerful. And men like to have power. Making the period a taboo is actually putting women down massively. And that's why for me it's reclaiming our power. Like reconnecting to our womb and to our period is reclaiming our power. Because when some actually, for example, if you do like an ayahuasca ceremony or if you want to go in a temple while you're bleeding, you're not allowed to do that. And why is that? Is because, not because of the shame. We turned it around this and now we think it's about shame, but it's actually because we are holding so much power. And we would actually infuse that holy place with our power so much that they can't hold it. That's why it's so taboo, yeah.
And even in yoga, you are not supposed to practice during those days. Mm. And yeah, I've never thought about it that way, but it's true. So many religions, you can't do stuff when you're on your period. And I feel like the way it's portrayed is that you're dirty.
Yeah.
And therefore, you cannot.
Yeah. And it's not. We're so powerful. And about the yoga was actually designed for men as well, not for a pelvis. Because our whole anatomy is different. The pelvis of a man looks so different than a woman. And there are so many yoga poses which are not even that beneficial for women. Mm-hmm. So I would also, like, if you're like really passionate about yoga, I'm not. That's why I'm not giving advices on that one. But if you're interested in that, then have a look. Like, you will find some good information about this. Yeah.
Yeah, and actually I have a yoga teacher friend who is actually just focused on pelvis and and yoga and the pelvis.
Oh, that's great.
And exactly creating yoga for women, because I'm a yoga teacher, for example, and I've been practicing yoga for a very long time. And there's this one type of style of yoga, which is called Ashtanga, which never resonated with me. And I could never understand why. Basically, it's like the same sequence over and over again.
Yeah.
And it's extremely tiring. And it's all about discipline. So a lot of people do it because they need discipline and stuff. And then when I did my teacher training a year and a half ago, I found out that Ashtanga was specifically made for young boys, 13 to 14, to build discipline so that it could be in the army. And I'm like, that makes so much sense. And that's why it never resonated with me. It's not meant for female bodies.
Yeah.
And the opposite of it is actually yin yoga, which yin is like the opposite of yang, which is actually the female energy, which is calm down, which I used to hate because it was calm and now I love.
But look, and this is what I really talk. This is always, I can teach you all the things, but in the end, you hold all your wisdom within yourself and in your womb. And I can help you with that because I have a lot of knowledge and I have a lot of experience, but in the end, it's you.
Sina, thank you so much. I think this is like very beautiful and enlightening. We're going to link all of your work and stuff in the description down below for all the people that want to reach out and get your help. I'm going to also update everyone on my free bleeding journey.
Please.
That's it for me. Like, I have to learn it now.
Yeah.
It just makes so much sense. And otherwise, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure. And I hope that, that you get something out of it if you listened to us.
Yeah. And don't forget to subscribe. Go follow Sina. And thank you. See you next week. Bye-bye.